quite comprehensive, covering so many nice aspects. I felt that most of the questions asked today, they have a lot to do with the fundamentals about body and mind. Many of the questions are focused on that. These things should be very clear before we understand the subtle behavior of the mind. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhumi rapo anala vayu kammanah buddhi revacha ahankar iti yame dinna prakritir ashtada. He is talking of eight elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. These eight are called as material elements. The first five called as panchamahabhut. They are called as the gross elements. And the next three are called as subtle elements. Somebody was asking about the mind, and he got an answer that mind is abstract thing. We cannot say whether it is material or spiritual. It is not like that. Mind is clear cut in Bhagavad Gita, said to be material. It is a subtle matter. Just like you have solids, liquids, gases and plasma, beyond that scientists do not know anything. But mind also is matter. It's a material particle. Mind, and then intelligence also is matter. And false ego is also material. Only thing is, when you talk of these elements, the order of subtlety increases. Like earth represents all the solids, which is so easy to perceive. And water represents all the liquids in the body. So you don't see the blood, but if you take a cross section, you can see the blood. Then air is even more subtle. You cannot see it, but you can understand its presence by another way of experiencing. Then fire is available as jatragini in the stomach. You can see the ushna or heat in the body. So it is also perceivable to some extent, but it is more subtle. Then there is kham or space, which is also present in the body. Or it also represents sound. So these are actually called as gross elements. And subtle elements are man, buddhi and ahankar. Mind, intelligence and false ego. These are called as sukshma. The soul originally is pure when he is in the spiritual sky. But when he falls into this material world, he is immediately covered by two coverings. One subtle covering and externally by gross covering. The subtle covering consists of man, buddhi and ahankar. And the gross covering consists of Bhumi Rapo Anulo Vayukham, Panchabhuta. Just like you wear a banyan and then a coat. Like that it is covered by two coverings. You all understand this point? This is a very basic philosophy which has to be clear. And what happens at the time of liberation? You uncover both. The body is dead and you also uncover the subtle body also. And the pure soul again returns back to the spiritual sky. One has to uncover both. The subtle covering and the gross covering. As it is explained, Jarayatyashi Akosham Nigirnam Analoyatha, it is said. Just like a pile of straw is burnt into ashes. Similarly, the subtle body consisting of man, buddhi, ahankar also is completely burnt by the fire of Krishna consciousness. So one gives up both the material coverings and with a pure soul, he returns back to the spiritual sky. Now, when the soul comes into this world, as I said, just like a raindrop, it is pure. But when it touches sand, it assumes the color of the sand. If it is red sand, it becomes red. If it is black sand, it becomes black. Similarly, the soul, when he comes here, he has no coverings. He is having a pure personality, Satchidananda Vigraha. But then, as soon as it touches the material world, it is explained in Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna. Purusha prakritisto hi bhunte prakritijan guna karanam guna sango asya sat asat janma yonishu. He is telling the soul is occupying sat asat, good body or bad body, depending on what modes he is associating with. So he is originally pure, but he becomes covered over by this man, buddhi, ahankar and the panchabhuta. So at this point of time, one has to know a little bit about what is the three modes. There is sattvagun, rajagun and tamogun. In sattvagun, one thinks I am a scholar, I am wiser than the common people, I am more intelligent. Similarly, in rajagun, there is a great hankering for material acquisition, more and more. or such life and honor and prestige and things like that. And in tamogun, there is cruelty, laziness, dullness in tamoguna. So these three are like the RYB color, which you say in electrical engineering, isn't it? Red, yellow, blue. So the entire material world is pervaded with a combination of these three modes, three colors. By mixing these three colors, you can make hundreds and thousands of shades of colors, isn't it? In the same way, this material world already is controlled by the three modes, and as soon as the soul enters it, immediately it becomes bound by the situation. Now, you all heard the example given by Saurabh regarding the chariot of the body. So that example is given to show how the soul, when he comes to this world, he is trapped in this chariot. What does the chariot represent? The material body. And the horses represent the five indriyas: eyes, nose, tongue, ears, and the skin. And the intelligence represents the driver of the chariot. And the ropes coming from the horses, they represent? Yeah? Mind. Why mind? Anybody can say why they represent the mind? All the horses are connected to the driver through the ropes, isn't it? Similarly, mind is the center of reservoir of all the senses. So the five senses are connected to the mind. So the intelligence is different from the mind. Mind is simply a reservoir of innumerable desires, unfulfilled desires. It's a reservoir of innumerable thoughts and innumerable previous experiences. So mind is simply a storehouse. But the mind always consults the intelligence for making decisions. So intelligence is a different entity, which is also material. So there is mind, there is intelligence. And what is false ego? False ego is that which makes you identify with this external, superficial, material covering. That is called as false ego. Your false ego makes you think you are a Maharashtrian or you are a Kannan from Karnataka, you are from Tamil Nadu. That makes you think like that. Or your false ego makes you think you are an engineer, or you are fat, you are black, you are tall, you are short. Superficial understanding of one's identity is called as false ego, which is a surplus amongst all the material elements. So, one has to have a basic understanding of this in order to understand the activities of the mind. Otherwise, you cannot understand what are we talking about. Understand, the subtle body that is given to you is like a vehicle. Both the subtle body and the gross body that we all possess is like a vehicle that is given to us. And this vehicle is either putting you in turmoil, or the same vehicle is allowing you to travel peacefully. It depends on how one uses it. Like the example of the chariot of the body. If the intelligence, which is represented by the driver, is weak, naturally he will not hold the ropes together. Is it not? When he is not holding the ropes and controlling the horses, then all the horses go in different directions. And there is completely a great lack of control. And everything is in turmoil. In the same way, as we said, the mind, due to false ego, due to association with false ego, identifies with all the material things of this body. See, mind has two options now. Either the mind associates with Paramatma, who is seated in our heart, by the side of the soul, or the same mind, he associates with the mithya ahankar, false ego. So the choice is ours. So Krishna is talking two shlokas in Bhagavad Gita regarding mind to be friend or enemy. First he says, Uddhared atmanatmanam atmanam avasadayet atmaiva syatmano banduhu atmaiva ripuratmanah banduratma atmanastasya yenatmaiva atmanajitah anatmanastu shatrutve vartetatmaiva shatruvat. Both the verses he tells similar thing, that mind can be a friend or it can be an enemy. When does mind become your friend, tell me? When the mind associates with Paramatma in the heart. He takes instruction from him and he acts. And when does the mind become enemy? He associates with a false ego. And false ego tells him the wrong things. False ego tells him, you are the body. You are tall, you are short, you are Indian, you are American, you are engineer, you are doctor. This is swastika. So depending on where the mind associates, accordingly he behaves according to that. Now consider both the situations. A person whose mind is connecting itself to the false ego. What will such a person do? For example, now I think I am fat. So I am thinking about my body. So when I see somebody black, then I say, see this blackish fellow, he is so ugly. Naturally I trace him to be inferior. Or when I think I am a Tamilian and I see somebody else who is Maharashtrian, then I may hate him. I may say, Jai Tamil Nadu. Or Jai Maharashtra. Because you identify with the body like that. Or else, again, when the mind identifies with the false ego, thinking that these are the things I like the most and I want to accomplish these things. Then when somebody is not favoring you, then you call him as your enemy. So immediately you are put into duality. This is my friend, this is my enemy. Immediately the duality comes. So is a person really your enemy? Or is a person your friend? How do you know? We consider those people who encourage us in our Indriya Kriti to be our friends. And we call those people who are exposing us about our mistakes, or people who are not favoring our Indriya Kriti, we call those people as our enemies in this world. But actually friend or enemy is chosen because of the mind's association with the false ego. So anybody who is allowing his mind to associate with false ego is going to be completely torn into pieces. This is the reason why in American culture, where they have practically no knowledge of the soul, everyone is torn into pieces because they are identifying with the body, false ego. The mind is connecting itself to the false ego. Now the very same mind, the great sages, they are trying to connect it to Paramatma. And it is not an easy task. That is why Krishna says, Yatto paramate chittam. The mind should completely cease all its material, mental activities, he says. Completely the material activities and material identification in the mind should be stopped. This is what is to be done if you want to be peaceful. So what does it mean to stop all the material activities? That means all material activities arise from identifying oneself with the false ego. That's all. That is called as material activity. That means the soul should connect himself to Paramatma and identify his relation with Paramatma. That's why the subsequent shloka Lord says, Jitātmana prashāntasya paramātmā samāhitah śītoṣṇa sukha dukkheṣu tatāmāna pamānayu. One who is intelligent enough not to allow his mind to be in touch with false ego, rather he intelligently doubts his activities in accordance to the will of Paramatma. For such a person, what happens? He becomes a conqueror of the mind. Jitātmana. Jitātmana. Jita means he has gained victory over the mind. Prashantātma. He becomes completely peaceful. Peaceful. Pacified. Paramatma samāhitaḥ. He has all the duality is completely finished in his life. He is not affected by duality. See? It's a very simple formula. Mind control is not at all difficult. If you know this most fundamental formula. Detach your connection from false ego and attach yourself to Paramatma. This is the formula given by the Lord. So he says, Yatra Uparamate Chittam. Completely cease from all material mental activities which are actually plunging you in so much suffering. But then to do that, he says, the same word Uparamate uses later. Shanai shanai uparamed buddhya dhrita grihitaya. That uparamati can be done shanai shanai, little by little. It cannot be done in one stroke. Just, immediately now, let me detach my connection with false ego and attach myself to Paramatma. Is it a 1 minute activity? It is not such a simple thing to do. So that requires proper cultivation. Gradually one has to cultivate the process of devotional service. By which gradually, one can understand his spiritual essence. He can understand, I am spirit, I am servant of Krishna. And one has to hammer himself again and again. That is what is the process of devotional service. Every morning, every evening, even now what we are doing, we are simply trying to revive our original consciousness. of being a servant of Krishna. So we are trying to re-establish our connection with Paramatma. It may take one day or one month or one year or one lifetime or even many lifetimes. It varies from person to person. Somebody may ask the question, why does it vary from person to person? Everyone is given the same mind and everyone is given a similar intelligence, false ego and everything. Why does it vary from person to person? It varies because it depends on how much a person strongly identifies himself with the body. As soon as the soul turns his face away from God, immediately two things happen to him. One is forgetfulness of God, another one is misidentification with his body. These two things happen immediately, as soon as a person turns away from God. So, naturally when a person misidentifies himself with the body and has forgotten God, he indulges in all sorts of activities which create bad impressions in the mind. Somebody was asking why our mind is always dragging us to bad things. Just like you don't find a shadow in the sun, but when you take your face away from the sun, you find shadow. Is it not? As long as you are God conscious, there is nothing bad in you. You will be completely pure hearted. But you turn your face away from God, immediately your heart becomes filled with so many varieties of bad propensities. So you find all the bad qualities in us. That is the reason. So the soul, he was originally pure. But now having come into this world, as I told you, the rainwater. In the same way, now I am wearing a clean white glass, so I can see things clearly. But if you wear a red glass, everything looks reddish. If you wear a blue glass, everything looks bluish. If you wear a yellow glass, everything looks yellowish. In the same way, a man who is affected by the disease of lust, he sees the whole world to be a place of enjoyment. He says, oh, whenever he sees any woman, he feels she is lusty. Because he is lusty. He thinks this is an object meant for my enjoyment. He thinks like that. So the whole world looks according to the type of glasses that you wear. Either Rajaguna, Tamaguna, Sattaguna. Whatever glasses you wear, the whole world looks according to that. So, the mind, in the beginning, that is offered to us is clean. The mind, the set of mind, intelligence, ego that is offered to you is originally clean. But then we created impressions using the false ego. You associate with the false ego and you create impressions. So many impressions in the mind. Now with those impressions you get so many different bodies. And every time desires multiply. Desires multiply more and more and more. And then situation becomes so bad like a silkworm. Like a silkworm emanates some liquid from its own mouth and traps himself. Similarly, the foolish soul, he traps himself in this world, not knowing how to get out of the body. This is the state of uncontrolled mind. So, one should know how to reconnect oneself to Paramatma. I was intending to tell you a very small story in this connection, which illustrates this topic of mind, whether it is friend or enemy. There was a man for whom the mind was an enemy before, and later on the very same mind became his friend. His name is Avanti Brahmana. This Avanti Brahmana actually belonged to a Brahmana family, but he never actually behaved like a Brahmana at all. The Brahmana is supposed to lead a very simple life, pure life, and is supposed to preach God consciousness. But this Avanti Brahman, right from the beginning, simply was bent upon accumulating more and more wealth. And he became so engrossed in accumulation of wealth that he neglected his wife, children, father, mother. He didn't even care for them. He didn't feed them proper food. He didn't give them proper clothing. And sometimes he was even starving himself because he wanted to accumulate wealth. And in this way, he went on accumulating more and more, and he earned the disgrace of his family members. They were subordinate to him because of his power at home. But then they were all grumbling all the time. At one point of time, the will of providence did not favor him. His fields became burnt and there was a huge loss. His house became burnt and there was a huge loss. And his fields, they didn't yield enough crops. So there was a lot of loss due to that. And thieves plundered the house and there was a lot of loss of money. And his wife and children and relatives and friends, they squeezed out as much as they can money from him This is they exploited him and they had taken away the part of the wealth. And there were government servants who also had taken away money in the form of tax. In this way, gradually he became plundered of all his wealth and he became very poverty stricken. Now that his position was very low profile, his wife and children and other people, they threw him out of the house. He came to the street. So when he came to the street, he got a very good realization. He contemplated on his own situation. What kind of man was I? He said, I was so greedy to accumulate the wealth that I forgot everyone. And this greed for wealth makes one practically blind. And during the lifetime, it makes a person toil, putting all his energy. And after death, it makes sure that he is destined to hell. He goes to hell after death. This is what greed can bring about in the life of a man. Not only that, he said, a man who is very famous and a man who is very virtuous for his qualities, both these people become immediately, both these people are looked down by the society as soon as they become greedy. Exactly as a very beautiful man, if he has a white leprosy on his face, on his skin, immediately people turn their face away. If somebody is very beautiful, people look at him. But if there is white leprosy, immediately people take their face away. They don't like to see. Similarly, even a man who is possessed of so much fame and a man who is so much virtuous with all good qualities, but if he is greedy, immediately that becomes such a blemish on such a person. And not only that, for the sake of wealth, sometimes family members, relatives and friends, even the very near ones, even the kith and kin, they fight like anything over one coin. Just for one coin, they have a big fight. And sometimes if this fight pursues, it can go to the extent of even murder. This is the condition of the man who is greedy. And this way he was going on getting realization about why he was greedy. And then he was trying to find out the reason, what was the reason for my greed? Why was I suffering like this? Then he came to this point of understanding that it is only because of my mind that I was being tossed here and there. See, if you carefully observe the movements of a person, his movements are exactly proportionate to the dictates of his mind. Mind makes a person run here and there. You go out in the world and see people running here and there in cars, moving out here and there in mode of passion. It is simply a dictation of the mind they are faithfully following. All these people are sold out slaves of the mind. Every activity that takes place in this world, either in goodness or passion or ignorance, simply one is like a play toy in the hands of one's devilish mind. So he understood that my mind was so greedy for increasing more and more, and because of that, see my situation now, how ultimately I ruined myself. But actually I am different from the body, I am the pure soul. Then he understood. He began understanding more about the nature of the soul in connection with God. He became completely detached. Then he decided that I will renounce everything of the world and I will accept sannyas. He accepted sannyas. But then do you know how he was treated? He was having tridanda representing the body, mind and words which he offered in God's service. He was carrying the tridanda with him and the begging bowl. He was wearing the robes of a sadhu and he was passing in the street. But those people who already knew him before, they all started laughing at him, ridiculing him. And when he would sit to eat the food that was begged, some children would come and pass urine in that and laugh at him. Some of them would even spit on his head. Sometimes somebody would give a loud cry saying that, you fool, you did this, you did that, you were so greedy. Now you are posing as a sannyasi. And they would pass air on his face. So in this way, he was so much humiliated by so many people. Although he wanted to say something and speak something, he didn't speak, he just tolerated. Understanding that all these things are coming as a result of my own past sins. Sometimes he would maintain a mouna vrata and the children would take sticks. Some people would take sticks and beat him, trying to make him speak, force him to speak. In this way, Avanti Brahmana was very much tortured with the people in general. But although he was tortured, he never took these insults to his heart He understood that it is all being orchestrated by the Lord. And at last he told a very beautiful verse. He said that the different processes that we use, that is a beautiful verse. He said, Danam Swadharmo Niyamo Yamascha Shukam Chakarmani Sadbratani Sarve Manoni Grahalakshananta Parohi Yogo Manasas Samadhi. He said, all that we do like Danam, giving charity, Swadharma, our prescribed duty, Niyamo Yamascha, the do's and don'ts that we follow, Shukam, what we hear from the scriptures, and Karmani, performing pious activities. So he said, Shitamcha Karmanicha, Sadvratani, taking strict pious vows. Why are we doing all these things? He said, Sarve Mano Nigraha, he said. Sarve Mano Nigraha Lakshananta. The Lakshan is to restrain the mind, to control the mind. Anta means the end. The end result that we aspire for by performing all these things like dan, giving charity, or performing pious activities, or performing prescribed duties, or performing do's and don'ts, ultimately is to restrain the mind from indulging in wrongdoings. And then he said, Parohi Yogo Manasa Samadhi, and then to engage the very same mind in Samadhi of the Paratattva, of the Lord Paramatma. So if you see, we perform all these activities, like giving in charity, performing strict vows like Ekadashi. Tomorrow is Ekadashi, we are going to follow. We follow Ekadashi Vrat, and we hear the scriptures, and we hear classes like this. Ultimately for what? So that the mind can be restrained from materialistic engagements and can be focused on the Paramatma. So, he became very bold that let my mind say anything. My mind may feel the insult because all these people are insulting me, but I am not going to take it seriously because I am not the mind. And he says different things. Are the grahas troubling me like this? He said, not the grahas. Because the grahas can only trouble the body, but I am different from the body. Similarly, he told different things and analyzed why am I feeling so much torture. And he came to this conclusion that it is because of the mind which is torturing me. And I am not going to take the cravings of the mind seriously. So he kept his mind aside. And with full conviction and determination, he focused on the Supreme Lord. And he told this most oft-quoted verse. Etam sa astaya paratmanishtham adhyasitam purvatamair maharshivihi aham tarishyami durantaparam tamo mukundangrini shevayaiva. He said, Etam sa astaya, I am going to become stiff, I am going to become fixed up, paratmanishtham, in full conviction on the Paramatma. And he said, Adhyasitam Purvatamair Maharshidhi. Many, many great souls in the past have done the same thing. I am going to follow in their footsteps. Aham Tarishyami Durantaparam. I am going to cross over this ocean of nescience. I am going to cross over this material world. How? Tama Mukundangri Nisheva Jaiva. By taking shelter of Lord Mukunda. So this verse is so great that it was even used by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he took sannyas. And till date, all the sannyasis chant this mantra as a sannyasi mantra. He chanted the same verse where he said, I will take shelter of Krishna and I will not hear to my mind. Rather, by taking shelter of Lord Mukunda, I will become freed from this material existence and return back to Godhead. So he said this most famous verse. So, mind is generally 99% enemy in this world. Why? Because it always associates with the false ego. It always identifies with the body. So 99% of the mind is going to act only as an enemy. You can take it for granted. But somehow or other, all of us assembled here, we have come to Krishna consciousness. We have come here to perform spiritual life, which is actually an opportunity awarded to 1 out of 1,000 people. It's very, very rare. Of course, the opportunity is there, but one who takes advantage of the opportunity is 1 out of 1,000, like Krishna says. One who understands, I am not the body, I am soul, I want to serve God, I want to become a servant of God. Very, very rare to be seen. So now we have at least made the first step in our spiritual life in the right direction. So we are already on the royal road that is leading us back to the kingdom of God. So we are already on the royal road. We have to just tread this path very carefully, putting aside all the obstacles. When our obstacles come, very carefully cross over and achieve the ultimate kingdom of God, lotus feet of God. It is possible. So, one has to make the right choice, then mind is very easy to control. So make your choice. Do you want your mind to associate with false ego and be very satisfied in sense gratification? Or you want your mind to be connected to God, by which you will become truly purified and you can go back to God? So the choice is ours. Depending on which, the mind will be either behaving with you as an enemy or as a friend. So this is how the thing is simple. And the five panchabhutas, they mix with the respective elements, like the earth, like the flesh in the body, it mixes with the earth. The water in the body, it mixes with water. Air in the body mixes with air. Fire mixes with the fire in the universe. Similarly, mind mixes with the global mind. Intelligence mixes with the global intelligence. False ego mixes with the global ego. So these are all within the material creation. And leaving aside this, at the time of liberation, the soul comes out of the body and he sheds his subtle body, gross body, everything, and he returns back to the spiritual world pure. Now, within the soul, there is an inbuilt mind, which is spiritual mind. There is an inbuilt intelligence, which is spiritual intelligence. There is an inbuilt true ego, which gives the soul consciousness that I am servant of my eternal master, Krishna. So there is an inbuilt ego. And all this mind, intelligence, ego, which are purely spiritual, they all are a part of the whole existence of this Atma itself. So as far as we are in this world, we have a corrupt mind, like we have a disturbed senses and fickle mind and lusty intelligence, as we often call it. So the lusty intelligence and fickle mind and disturbed senses cannot give you peace. So what we do, as it is said, Vihayasya Harir Dasya Karmana Manasagira Nikilashapi Avastasa Jivan Muktasya Vachyate. Engage this mind, intelligence and your senses in Krishna's service and you can purify them. So when you purify them completely, they have to be burnt completely. Then the Atma can return back to God. Otherwise what happens at the time of death, the gross body is left aside by you. But the subtle body follows you like a shadow. It doesn't leave you. Life after life after life after life. It keeps on following you. When does it leave you? Do you know? When does the subtle body leave you? Only when you become a pure devotee. Only one. That means one has to completely purify the subtle body and allow the subtle elements to mix with the global elements. And only then a person will be left alone to return back to the kingdom of God. Until that point, we are going to have the subtle body coming along with us. Subtle body means the mind predominantly. Why? Because out of the three, mind, intelligence and ego, the trouble giver is the mind. Because mind has all the reservoir of unwanted impressions, nasty impressions. You look at a nasty poster in the street, immediately there is impression in the mind. So there is a propensity to commit sin. So a sinful bija or the seed comes in the mind. So it is stored in the mind immediately. It is there. And then it takes a shape and form by consulting the intelligence. Now sometimes, even if the intelligence is ready to give a good decision, the mind is so stubborn that even it preaches against the intelligence, wrong things to the intelligence. Like he gave the example of a car driver is driving the car and there is a man sitting by his side. So the driver of the car is compared to intelligence. And the person sitting by the side is compared to the mind. So the person sitting by the side cannot do anything to the driver. Can he? Can he do anything to the car? He has no ability. He cannot change the direction of the car. He cannot even touch the steering because driver is using the steering. He is only sitting by his side. But there is one thing that is within his reach. He can distract the driver. He can show him some poster. Or he can give him some groundnuts to eat. So immediately the driver turns and immediately car goes out of control. Similarly, the mind has one ability to distract the good intelligence. Even if your intelligence is good, the mind can distract it because of being stubborn in nature. And it has a lot of polluted desires. So we can work at two levels. At one level, let us not allow rubbish things to be loaded in our mind more and more. That is one step we can take. Already there is a lot of garbage inside. Why do we go out to take truckloads of garbage and dump it more and more inside? So let us try to stop dumping truckloads of garbage into our mind. That's one thing we can do. And another thing is, let us make the intelligence so stout and strong through the scriptural understanding that we are not the body, we are the pure soul. And we have to associate with Paramatma and not with. I have been telling at least 10 times this point. Yes, Mastigo. So that this point becomes deeply ingrained in your heart. It is as simple as that. It is as simple as that. Don't associate with false ego. Always associate with the true ego. What is true ego? Realize that I am pure soul, servant of Paramatma, or servant of Krishna. So, if you make your intelligence very stout, then you can see that. That such pure intelligence will kick away the mind. Mind will come and say, what about this? Would you like to enjoy? I will give him punch on the face immediately. And mind will go running, crying. So this fellow is not giving me. And you can see mind behaves exactly like a tamed dog. Like you have been giving nice costly biscuits to a dog and they have been patting him very nicely, caressing him. And one day a doctor comes and tells you, you fool, these dogs are parasites. In the next, if you touch this dog, you will get a disease. Better you just leave him. And you go home and tell the dog, now I don't want you. Please kindly leave me. What do you think the dog will do? He is not going to hear you. He will jump on your lap and sit again and again. You go and leave him at the doorstep and come, by the time you return back, he will come and sit on your lap. Similarly, the strong tendency of the mind to commit sinful activities cannot be easily overcome. Very, very difficult. Even after coming to Krishna consciousness, you see, when you come in the assembly of devotees, you think, I am so pure now. Ah, my mind is floating in the sky. It's so nice. Probably I have become a pure devotee. But then you go back into the world, your mind can take you to ditch. It takes you down. Always you see like a fox, popping out of the foxhole. Bad, very dangerous, barbaric desires. Time to time, pop out of the hole. And show their face here and there, look, and they go inside. Time to time you observe this, everyone can observe that. So desires come and they wait for an opportunity. When can we attack this person and take him away from Paramatma? We can easily see that. That is the nature of the mind. So one has to not let the mind grab more and more bad things. Although it is the nature of the mind. So you take a stick and beat the dog severely. Once you beat him, he will cry like anything. But again he will come to you because you have tamed him. Beat him, beat him, beat him so much that this fellow will understand. Arey, he doesn't want me now. I have been entertained so much, but now it appears he doesn't want me, he will run away. Similarly, the bad propensities of the mind will go away from us only when we repeatedly beat the mind. That's why Bhaktivinoda Saraswati said that in the morning you beat the mind 100 times with jadu. Beat the mind. And in the evening you beat the mind 100 times with chappal. What he actually meant is, in the morning you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When you chant this mantra, mind goes crazy. You can see people when they try to chant, just wave their head. What is making them wave their head? That is the mind. If they are very cool and peaceful, they don't have to wave the head. We wave the head because mind is troubling them. No, 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 leave me, don't beat me. Because mind wants to associate with whom? False ego. And you are telling the mind, no, here is Krishna. Turn to Krishna's side. Mind says, why are you pulling me that? And by regular beating, shanai, shanai, uparamay. Step by step, you pacify him. It cannot be done at one stroke. It's not that, you chanted one round and immediately become pure devotee. That is not possible. Shanai, shanai, uparamay, buddhya, dhriti, grihitaya. He says the buddhi, make the buddhi so stout gradually that ultimately the mind has to become subordinate to the buddhi. Actually, the mind is subordinate to buddhi. But now he is trying to, brainwash the buddhi also. Because buddhi or the intelligence is the next door neighbor to mind. Is the next door neighbor. Like if somebody is a next door neighbor to a very nasty boy who is having a drug addiction and drinking liquor and smoking, if you are his neighbor, there is a possibility of becoming contaminated also. Because you will develop friendship with him and later on you will also take to those habits. Similarly, intelligence is the next door neighbor to mind. So it can very easily become contaminated. So, keep your intelligence very, very pure. How can you do that? By always reading the scriptures, hearing from devotees, and catch hold of the neck of the mind and keep him aside. Don't entertain him, lock him up. That is why we say, Arunako Rihomane Asha. What does that mean? What is the first line? Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitte Te Koriya Akya Arna Koriho Mane Asha. They are singing Arna Koriho Mane Asha. Mind has innumerable expectations, but do not entertain him. Arna, na means don't. Don't entertain him. Take him away. Throw him away. Whatever mind says, I like this. Get lost. Why don't you try this? Get lost. Throw him away. Kick on his face. And Guru tells you, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, you consider his words to be lotus voice. That to be the divine word. Hear it attentively. Guru says, chant Hare Krishna every day. Mind tells you, why do you chant? It is not necessary now. When you get old, you can chant. Don't hear the mind. Tell him, get lost. And to hear the Guru's vani, then you chant Hare Krishna every day. So Guru has told you, don't eat non-vegetarian foodstuffs. And when you go to the mess, you will find so many people keeping plates and eating non-veg around you. Mind tells you, why don't you just take one? You see, you are in a friend circle, your name will be spoiled if you don't cooperate with them, and mind will give you justification. See, you have to be good friend of everyone. Just for that sake you eat. Although, as a devotee, you are not supposed to eat. I agree with you, your principles and all, but then just to maintain the friendship, you know, you have to do in Rome as Romans do, you know. So be with them. Like, you know, they are drinking tea, and if you don't drink it, you say no, then you have to be aloof. It's not a very good thing. Just cooperate with them. Mind will tell you. What should you tell the mind? Get lost. I am not going to hear you. My Guru says I should not drink. So I will not drink. So that is why it is said, Arunakoriso Mane Asha. Don't hear the cravings of the mind. Mind is going to cheat you. So in the beginning stage of your devotional service, mind will give you gross objects to enjoy. And tell you, like one boy used to tell me, every time he used to come to me, I used to ask him, have you given up meat eating now? He said, yes, Prabhuji, for the past 3 months, I have given up meat eating. And then he would go home and come. And as soon as he comes, he'll ask him, what happened? Prabhuji, my parents told me to eat, Prabhuji, so I ate meat at home. I didn't want to displease my parents. So people sometimes, they have no capacity, they don't have the determination to follow the principles because they are hearing their mind. Actually, he had the opportunity to tell the parents that I don't want meat, I don't like it. But he didn't even open his mouth. They offered and he ate it immediately. That means he's a servant of his mind. You understand? That means mind became his enemy, isn't it? Mind became his enemy. Why? So, if one has to make true friendship with the mind, first step to do with the mind is to kick him away. Let him go away. Don't entertain him. Only hear the pure spiritual intelligence that is coming from the devotees and that is coming from Krishna and Guru. Hear only that. And strictly adhere to that. Whatever principles they have taught you, strictly adhere to that. One has to be very strict in this principle. And then, later on you will see, the mind, hearing from the intelligence, becomes purified. I'll give you a simple example. See, a husband and wife. A husband wants to become a devotee and wife also wants to become a devotee. That is a very ideal family. But sometimes it is said that women who are in mode of passion and ignorance, they simply want to enjoy. And sometimes they have such a strong desire to enjoy that they tempt the husband also who wants to become a devotee. This example anybody can understand, I think. This example is a very simple example. Sometimes the wife has such a strong desire for enjoying the world that although the husband wants to go to temple, he wants to purchase some Bhagavad Gita and read. Wife tells him, come on, it's getting late, we have to go to party, don't buy this Bhagavad Gita, don't go to temple too often, let us enjoy life. So wife actually, although she is subordinate to husband, she tempts the husband so much that husband also gets carried away by her. In the same way, mind sometimes carries away the intelligence. But on the other hand, if husband, according to the Vedic life, do you know what should a husband do? Husband is not supposed to be a henpecked husband who is subordinate to his wife. Rather, husband is subordinate to whom? Guru. He has to be subordinate to Guru. So, husband associates with Guru and Guru tells him, you follow these principles and become spiritually very strong. Then husband follows all the principles and becomes strong. And when husband is very strong in principles, every morning he wakes up. Every morning he does aarti for the Lord. And every morning he is chanting Hare Krishna. Physical strength, otherwise has passion and ignorance, she also starts doubting her passion in Krishna service. Like she goes here and there, she cooks food, and she also calls many devoted people to home, and she offers food to them, and she requests her husband, please get me a deity at home, I want to worship the deity. Then she bathes the deity, she dresses the deity, she cooks bhoga for the deity, she makes jewelry for the deity. So in this way, wife wants to do a lot of activities. Instead of doing these activities by going to parties and going to this club and that club and wasting her time uselessly, she is dovetailing the same propensity of being busy in Krishna service. You understand this example? So such a wife's passion is rightly directed. So she is subordinate to the husband, and husband should become spiritually strong. Her wife becomes guided by the husband. In the same way, the intelligence is capable of giving a good guidance to the mind, provided it becomes spiritually strong. Then the mind can be guided, and the mind will be very helpful to you. You can see how your mind now, the very same mind which was our enemy before, for Avanti Brahmana it became his friend later on, to remember the Lord. Because mind is required for remembering the Lord. In the mind only you can remember. Savai Manaha Krishna Padaravinda. So the very same mind, instead of focusing on abominable nasty subject matters, it will focus on Krishna being guided by the intelligence. Yeah? Announcement here to me? So stop here. It's already 10 o'clock. There were some questions which are unanswered. Maybe answer personally, because these require a lot of time to answer. Maybe another time when we talk on mind, we can talk about the other questions that were left out. But I wanted to stress this point on mind and mind being friend and enemy more strongly, so I spoke on that. But there are some questions which are left unanswered, and you all will know which questions are left out. So with respect to duties, can meet us and get those clarified. Make the announcement.